Lord, thank you for today, God. Thank you for letting us come together as a group, God, to worship your name. Thank you for loving us, for dying for us, for giving yourself up for us. Lord, I pray a renewed level of faith for everyone in this room that we would all just feel an increased level of your presence and your love. Lord, I pray for an anointing over Pastor, that he would bring the word that you have for us, God, and that you would just draw all of us a little bit closer to you today. And Lord, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. So, Monday evening, men's Bible study, as per usual, 6 to 8 p.m. All men are welcome, and they are still reading through the book of Romans. So, if you want to join, it's never too late. Wednesday evening prayer meeting is canceled this week, unfortunately. But next week, it should still be back on. Yes, and it's a very fun time. You know you want to come. Calling hours for Mason Sorensen will be Wednesday, September 22nd from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 p.m. here at the church. The funeral will be held Thursday morning, September 23rd at 10:30 a.m. This is Mission Sunday, and this is the time we set aside to remember our missionaries, especially the needs of the Rahema Home and Irvin Ruth Schwant. Please consider giving in support of these people bringing the gospel to other lands. Thank you. I don't know how to put...
Oh, wait, can you just stay? Can we just look for a minute? There's something, it's just fun to watch. I don't even need to preach. You can just stand here and just hold him and we'll just watch.
Kimba.
Years ago at the Wellsville Christian School, my wife was having devotions with the students at the school, and she brought our little baby daughter in with her, and she walked up, and the kids just looked. And the principal just kind of stopped my wife, and she just said, "Oh, just let us look." And so we just propped her up, and all the kids just kind of looked at her. Isn't there something wonderful about babies and children? They're precious. They're wonderful. That's why it's so important for us to pray and believe God that our country will come to its senses and protect the innocent lives. Protect the innocent lives. They are precious, and our country is guilty of so much more than Herod ever thought to do with the murder of the innocents. And we look at that event in history and think how terrible it was, but God help us. God spare us from the judgment of that sin. We were singing this morning, and the word came out about having childlike faith, and I looked at the next song, and it said, "When you walk into the room." I remember when I was little, sometimes things would be scary, or I'd be unsure or whatever, and then my dad would walk in, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, my dad's here, it's okay now." When Jesus walks into the room, oh God, help us, anything can happen. Anything. Let your faith arise when we come together and really begin to believe for the anything. Can we believe God for the anything? And that thing that looks at you and says, "No." Any of you have that thing in your life that kind of you battle with and it just looks at you and says, "No." You look at it and say, "My God can make anything happen. Anything. He can do it." Who has a testimony this week? I know my wife has something she wanted to share. We had an interesting... Anybody want to go first? I'm going to spill the beans on Judy Riley. I'm going to do it. Judy's a work in progress here. She needs God to really touch her body in some more ways. But you know, she fell and she injured her hand. Judy, hold up that hand for us. Judy says, my hand's all better. So Judy, as I told Judy this morning, now we're going to move on to the next body part. Two body parts. She says, more. Judy wants the whole package. We don't want to leave anything out. Oh, glory to God. Anybody else have a testimony of something that God's done this week? Shelby. You have to either yell or you got to come and use the mic. Actually, if you use the mic, then it's on the recording.
Oh.
And then other people can hear it. Dean's
so,
like, yeah.
My wisdom teeth have been bothering me for a very long time. And when I went into the dentist, I wasn't expecting them to pull them that day. But they did, and they are healing great, and there's no complications. And it just shows, like, hey, that big thing that's been bothering you for a long time, God can just kind of, boop, done.
Woohoo!
Okay, this is really not my testimony. It's a teaser testimony. When we came up yesterday to put the banner up, there was two ladies in the parking lot, and they were taking pictures, and the church was locked, so they couldn't get in. They just wanted to come up here and take pictures and reminisce, because they had years ago attended this church when Pastor Mason was pastor, and... Oh, okay, so they had a specific leading from the Lord to come up Saturday. And I think one of them lives in Orchard Park, right? And the other one in Dansville. So, you know, that's not like on the way. So, anyway, they started telling us about this wonderful event that happened in their lives in this church, but it was in the parking lot. And so they were really excited about just looking around the parking lot and looking at the hills and everything. And I don't know how much I can say because I don't want to ruin it. But we're hoping to get them to come and share. So we don't know when that's going to be. We encourage them to write it down and... basically, the mom, Lisa Willis, right? Lisa Willis and Jasmine. Does anybody remember Lisa Willis and Jasmine? Jasmine was a child at the time. And anyway, Lisa felt led to come up here and pray. So she brought her two kids up here. And while she was praying, she thought, I should go get somebody else. So they went and got somebody else. And then that person said, we should get somebody else, a teenager. And then that teenager said, we got to go find so-and-so, you know. So she ended up bringing all these teenagers up here, and they started seeing angels. I mean, all the teens saw angels. And one of them actually drew a picture. And so I encouraged her. She said it still has a picture. So I said, please take a picture of that picture and we can shine it up, you know, up there. And so anyway, there's a lot more to that story. That's enough. I think I shared enough. Huh?
That's the teaser.
Is that okay? Is that enough? There's more. So I just thought it was really cool. She was praying for the youth of this county, and she was seeing the needs, and of course we see the needs. And it just shows that there's a battle going on, and the Lord is aware, and he's going to help us. He's going to strengthen us. You know, we need courage. You know, it's like my heart is breaking when I see the news and see the things that breaks our hearts. But we're not broken. We're not broken yet. We're not completely, like, broken. The world has not broken us. And the Lord can strengthen us so that we can impact the world and for the Lord. So, anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Oh, there is so much more to that testimony. The thing that makes it so exciting to me is that all these people were here and they all saw it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like somebody was a wacko. All these people and kids saw it. Yeah. Oh, Shay. Oh, darn it, I turned it off.
That's okay. I don't want to, like, if you've got more to say.
No. No, it's great. Oh, are you kidding? I always have more to say. It's like, come on. Better get the mic while you can.
I had a thought run through my head, and then I dismissed it. Like, that's not a testimony. And then the fact that you mentioned the parking lot made me feel like I need to share it. Goodness, four or five years ago, when we were fostering the little guy that was Cadence's age, he had been with us just shy of a year, and my heart was very ready to have this little boy stay in our lives. I've told people it was like 9 months in, it was like a heart gestation. Something shifted in me where we weren't just caring for somebody else's child, but I loved this little boy. And my husband, who's amazing, did not have that same heart pull with this little boy. And it was very difficult. We were on the cusp of, there was a court date to determine if he was going to stay with us or if he was going to Texas to be with a family member. And I was up here for a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we prayed, and I was pretty emotional. It was a very emotional time for me. I cried a lot. And as I was leaving, I was standing in the parking lot with Kathy, and she shared a story, which I don't want to give her testimony, but where she understood where I was at, and at the heart of her testimony was when something happened that her heart longing and Denny's heart longing was in different places, she was willing to surrender the heart longing that would tear her away from her husband and instead say, I've already placed my vow here. Does that make sense? I mean, it's very vague, but it was the richest experience for me. And I remember at that moment thinking, like, I want to be like her. I don't want to lose this child and lose some, like, connection with my husband because I hold him responsible for not being, like, in the same heart place as me. And so that has been, I mean, years now, and I have come back again and again to that, but it came up again this week where I don't even remember what the circumstance was now, but Devin and I were sitting at the table and having a conversation, and again, there was this pull for me to say, like, do I choose this thing that's my preference, or am I going to align myself with the vow that I've already spoken to my husband? And so the pull, I think, to share this morning is just the power of this testimony that Kathy gave me while we were getting eaten by mosquitoes in the middle of July out in the parking lot is something that has rooted and continues to bear witness in my life and fruit in my life. So I feel a pull to beat to encourage you to connect and share your heart and share your story and share the journey that you're in because, like, that's life for the body of Christ.
Thank you. Am I back? I'm not back.
Am I back now? Ah, now I am. Okay. And did I turn this off? No, and it is going to feed back. So, a while ago, maybe a month ago, was sitting at the Creative Arts Center with my brother Dakota, as I am wont to do, nice place to sit and hang out, and we were talking and sharing and Dakota said, you know, I just feel like God's giving me a message. I said, okay, what is it? He goes, no, a message. A message to share. Like, well, what do you, message to share in church. I said, oh. Well, step one, write it down. Write it all out, prep it. And I said, so he did. He came to me and said, can I share it with you? I said, absolutely. So back to Creative Arts we went, and he shared the word with me, and we talked and prayed, and said, I think you got a word from God. So next week, our brother Dakota will be bringing us
the word. And would you do him a favor and pray for him this week? I don't know if you've ever shared in church before. This will be a first time. But God's given him something. And pray that it's going to be like a fire in his bones. You know, the prophet said, it's like a fire shut up him. I can't hold it in anymore. Boom. And that he'll be able to turn that loose. I believe God's given him a good word. So want to throw that out to you. Pray for our brother, and he's going to bring us a word next week, and we're believing God to really speak to us. So, amen. Amen and amen. Okay, we've been talking about the baptism. I am going ringy, ringy. Is it me? Am I just imagining it? Ring! Okay. Been talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to share a few thoughts that I had at the end of last week that we didn't get to before I look at the crux of what I want to share today. But can I say to you that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I'm saying the infilling because everybody needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We get that baptism in the Holy Spirit, but then there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that is God wants us to have a continual feast with him. Can I say it like that? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is a continual feast the Lord wants to invite us to. And last week we talked about ask, seek, and knock. And the implication of those words meaning ask, but then ask again, and then ask again, and then ask again. And God doesn't mind you being a pest. And then seek, and seek again. There is that continuing present tense in the Greek there. It means ask and ask again and ask again. Seek, knock, knock again. Remember the image, the word knock means to literally pound on the door with a stick. That means you want to get God's attention. Hey, does God mind? He does not mind. It is not a lack of faith for you to ask and then ask again. And I remember early in my Christian walk, I shared it last week, how people would say, well, you've asked, now you just thank God because it's a lack of faith if you ask again. You should just believe. No! The scripture says ask and keep asking and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, and knock and keep knocking. And there's nothing wrong with seeking God and then seeking him again and seeking him and again and seeking him again. And if you're sick and we pray for you and you don't get well, I'm going to pray for you again. You'll say, oh no, here comes Pastor Dave again. He's after me. I'm after you, Judy. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But we want to see God move. We want to see God move in the lives of people. And it's important. And it's important to understand that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a one-and-done event. You receive, but can we think of the baptism in the Holy Spirit as maybe more like a gateway? That God's opening those doors. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. And I think I actually have a slide for that, yeah. And Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. I didn't want to take time to read the whole story, but now if you remember that old Sunday school song, the whole little story just popped into your head. And Peter and John got arrested because a guy got healed. It's like, okay, somebody gets healed and they throw you in jail for it. Makes a lot of sense. On their release, Peter and John returned to their own people and reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said to them. You know what the chief priests and elders said to them? Quit preaching about Jesus. Don't you dare ever talk about him ever again. And those two guys, they're like, we cannot but see if which is better, to us to listen to you or to obey God? So it's like tough cookies, pal. So when the believers heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his Holy One. You can go to the next slide, Adam. In fact, this is the very city where Herod and Pontius Pilate conspired with the Gentiles and the people of Israel against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. You think we got it bad today? Yow. They carried out what your hand and will had decided beforehand would happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with complete boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then what happens? After they had prayed, their meeting place was shaken. I don't think it was a little. I don't know what it meant, but wow, I bet it was enough to make a ruckus. The meeting place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, wait a minute. Weren't they all filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost already? They were already filled with the Holy Spirit. So why are they being filled now? The scripture makes special notice to say that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an interesting principle to take away from this, because I believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe in laying hands on people and asking them to get filled, that they need that experience. But then there is the baptism in the Holy Spirit is also a walk. John 15, 4 and 5. Remember all those weeks that I taught in John 15? Here it comes again. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So in other words, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to be attached to that vine. You've got to be tied into that. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and called out in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." He was speaking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is an entirely different way of thinking about the Holy Spirit, because up until this time we've been talking about us getting filled. We need to be filled. We need to be filled with the Spirit. This is talking about having a river of life of the Spirit flowing out of you. This is not get filled. This is let it go. Let it go. Let it flow. God wants to have the Holy Spirit flowing out. So it's more than just filling in. Now you'll notice he does preface it, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. But what is the purpose of drinking here? Get filled up with the Spirit so that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The King James is a little more graphic. It says, as it says in the scripture, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I remember the preacher that stood up once and he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I'll never forget that. Hopefully you don't have livers flowing. Well, yeah. So it's very, very important that there is an inflow and an outflow. A body of water that only has an inflow with no outflow, what do we call that? The swamp. What happens in a swamp? Stagnant water, bacteria, stinky things. It's just not a good and happy place. Ezekiel 47:11 talks about, did I put that in there? I did. In Ezekiel 47, there's a whole vision of the river of water coming out from the temple and bringing healing and fishermen bringing in fish. But then it says, but the swamps and marshes where water only goes in and never comes out will not become fresh, or in other words, they will not become healed. They will be given for salt. So in other words, there needs to be a flowing in and then a flowing out. The apostles were baptized, but they were also pouring out. And so there was an abiding, a continual filling and a continual outflowing. So as we want to have our walk in the Spirit, God is looking to fill us up so that we can pour out, and then we come back and we get filled up and pour out. Fill up, pour out. Can you see how important it is for you to stay really close and have that time with Christ every day? Oh, I don't want to be legalistic about it, but man, if you miss a day with Jesus, you're missing out. You're starving your spirit. Oh, you know, sometimes we fast in the flesh, but no, you don't ever want to fast your spirit. Don't do that. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Today, what I really wanted to begin to move into was the taking some time and looking at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit manifests among us. And so for that, we're going to, if you have your Bible, I don't have a slide for this, so you won't be able to click to it there, Adam, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, Paul is not calling people ignorant. He's not saying, I don't want you to be dumb. He just means, I don't want you to not understand. That when he says that word ignorant, he just simply means, I want to inform you, I want you to be really clear on this. So he's going to take some time and explain about the manifestation or the gifts of the Spirit. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unclear. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, at least not in sincerity. There are diversities or differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that word gifts in verse 4 is where we get is the Greek word charisma, where we got the term the charismatic movement, or a movement where the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit back into the church again. But the word charisma is just, it's simply stated, it just means a grace endowment. It means God just gives a special grace, puts it on you to be able to do what you cannot do yourself. So, and in speaking about spiritual gifts, it says that there are diversities of gifts or different gifts. And it's really important that there are many different gifts of the Spirit. There are ministry gifts. We're not going to look at those today. Ephesians 4:11 says that God, he gave gifts to men. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are what we would call fivefold ministry or ministry gifts. There are the distinctly supernatural gifts, 9 of them that we're going to look here in 1 Corinthians 12. There are also other gifts mentioned in the Bible. There's lots of administrative gifts. There's the gift of leadership. There's the gift of helps. There's the gift of giving. I know some people, and God just blesses them with money so they can give it away. I haven't seemed to get that gift very much. I mean, you get called to do it anyway because God doesn't want us to cling to those things. But giving, I'm really glad I don't have the gift of martyrdom, the gift you only get to use once. The gift of mercy. There are a lot of, actually, I'm not really sure that there's anything that says martyrdom is a gift, but there gift of showing mercy. There's a lot of different gifts, but today I'd like to begin to examine the 9 distinctly supernatural gifts that are outlined in 1 Corinthians 12. One thing that Paul, you're going to hear him say over and over and over and over and over in this chapter, the same Spirit. There are differences, but the same Spirit. It keeps coming back to the same Spirit, the same Spirit. I didn't count how many times. Somebody ought to just count up how many times he actually says that in here. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. So God is giving us a really holistic approach to the body of Christ. And it's saying we need the body. We need the body, and the body is all different. And it's supposed to be. He goes on later in the middle of the chapter to talk about some people are an eye, some people are a hand, some people are a foot, and they've got to cooperate and talk to each other. We need the body. We need the body of Christ. And it's all different. It's not the same, and it's supposed to be that way. So if you meet other Christians and they're a little different than you, don't look cross-eyed at them and think, boy, they're weird. No, well, you know, we need the body, how much we do. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, there's a different word. He's mentioned the gifts of the Spirit several times now, the charisma. But now he's talking about a word called a manifestation. That is the Greek word phanerosis. Phanerosis. And that means literally a coming to light or a disclosure. And I think of it as the Holy Spirit taking opportunity every once in a while in you to pull back the curtain and pop out and then go back again. It's a manifestation. It's the Holy Spirit revealing itself out of believers. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, every person, for the profit of all. And then he gives us a list of these 9 manifestations. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each, there it is again, to each one individually as he wills. Did you notice over and over that it says given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Differences. Difference and difference and difference here and there, same Spirit. Different ways to do things, same Spirit. We need to have a heed to what God is saying in that. People are different. God does things different in different ways, but it's the same Spirit. But Pastor Dave, they didn't pray the way we did for somebody and they still got healed. Same Spirit. They do. That's weird. Well, is it bringing glory to God? Well, yeah, but it's weird. It's really different. It's okay. far as I'm concerned, if it glorifies God and Jesus is lifted up, it's okay. But it's weird. I just remember Carlton Spencer at Elam once. They brought this raucous rock band. And that was back in the day where I was first saved and I was kind of told that Christian rock music might kind of be from the devil and, you know, it's just not really good. And they brought this band into our college ministry retreat thing, and it was loud and it was rocky. And Carlton Spencer was the president of Elam at the time. I think he was the president of Elam Bible Institute at the time. And he was he was very old at the time. And I was kind of wondering, what did he think of that? And he just stood in the back and grinned. And later he told me, he said, they just want to reach souls for Jesus. And I thought, that is exactly what they were doing. Glory to God. So, anyway, that was not anything that I intended to talk about, but there you have it. So here we have a list of 9 manifestations, and I would like to kind of group them into nice, convenient groups because I'm a teacher and I feel really secure when I have nice, convenient groups. God doesn't work in nice, convenient groups all the time, but it makes me feel better. So you can kind of accept that as why I've done this. Can you go to the next slide, Adam? 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I put them in 3 categories, just because that's what I wanted to do. Revealing gifts, vocal gifts, and power gifts. And most people, when they talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, immediately launch into speaking in tongues. And I'm not starting there because the scripture didn't start there. I want to start with the revealing gifts. Some people call them the gifts of revelation, and I don't like that term because people start thinking of revelation and end times and all that stuff, and it's not at all what it's talking about. Gifts that reveal something, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And fascinating and interesting gifts that the Lord does. And I'm going to start, I know the first on my list was word of wisdom, but I somehow mixed my notes up, and I'm going to start with the word of knowledge. The word or the message of knowledge. And God's knowledge is the full possession of all the facts in the universe, past and present. And he knows everything that's happening right now. Everything. Matthew 10:30, he says that the hairs on your head are all numbered. That means he knows how many hairs are on my head right now. He knows how many are on yours and yours. And everybody in all the billions of people in the world. And then that number changes all the time. Every time I comb, I lose a few hairs and hopefully they grow back. But, you know. And to think that the God of the universe, that fact of knowing how many hairs you have on your head for billions of people, and that's like nothing. You don't even break a sweat on that. The knowledge that God has is so vast and so huge. He knows everything. And the Holy Spirit at times will give us, that's why they call it a word, will give you, just drop a word of God's knowledge into your spirit, something that you wouldn't know, but something that God knows. It's a brief, the word of knowledge, it's a brief glimpse into the knowledge that God has. And there's a lot of examples of this in Scripture. Adam, you can go to the next. Here's one in Daniel 2, and we won't go through all of that story, but in Daniel 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And King Nebuchadnezzar is a little cranky about his dream. He wants to make sure that somebody's going to really give him the right interpretation. So he says, I've had a dream. And all of his sorcerers and astrologers come and say, well, tell us and we'll interpret it. And he goes, no, you tell me what it was. I think I think that there was something working in Nebuchadnezzar. I think he had had it with his wise men. I think he knew they were frauds, that they didn't have the real power. He said, yeah, you think you're something? Tell me, you tell me what the dream was. And they said, nobody can do that. So he was going to execute all of them. But Daniel goes to prayer. In verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and he blessed the God of heaven. God came to Daniel and said, here's the dream. A word of knowledge that unlocked it and saved Daniel's life, the three Hebrew children's lives, and then he was able to walk the king through every step of what his dream was. Amazing. Matthew 9, 1 through 5, Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Just then some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. On seeing this, some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. Is Jesus a mind reader? No. He had a word of knowledge, a spiritual word of knowledge, and said, why do you harbor evil in your hearts? John 1, 47 through 50, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Well, he'd never met him before. And so Nathanael says, how do you know me? Apparently he was known for being a very honest and upright person. Jesus replied, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And he's like, how did you know I was under the fig tree? Rabbi, Nathanael answered, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said to him, do you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will believe greater things than these. I heard a testimony of somebody who talked about, he was sharing a message on the manifestation of the Spirit and how it can be used in evangelism. And he told, I think he was on one side of the street and he saw another guy on the other side of the street. And the Lord spoke to him and gave him a word of knowledge about this guy's life. He didn't even know who the guy was. And he had to walk over and tell him, you know, hey, God just told me this and this and this about you. And the guy said, how did you know? I remember sitting up at the piano a number of years ago. I was sitting up here, and I suddenly had a sense that the Lord was giving me something. And I heard the Lord tell me that somebody in the church was having a problem with runny eyes. And I said, God, please don't make me say that in front of everybody. It's like, do I really have to say there's somebody here that is running? And I argued with God for a while. I sat there and I was just like, I don't want to say that. And then I thought, what if I say it and nobody comes up and then I've given a word for runny eyes? And so I did. I struggled. I went back and forth and back and forth. Finally, I grabbed a mic and I said, I believe the Lord is saying that there's somebody here that's having a problem with their eyes running, runny eyes, and God wants, if you'll come for prayer, God's going to touch you. And guess what? No one came. And so I was like, I guess I missed that until next week. And somebody in the back room there said, hey, Dave, you remember that word you had about runny eyes? He said, that was me. And I didn't come up. He said, if you pray for me now, do you think it'll still work? And we prayed, and God touched him. He said it was so much better. So I share that with you just to let you know that sometimes you have to kind of step out in faith. And if it's a struggle for you, know it was a struggle for all of us. It's not easy to do that, but God wants to touch people. And I remember being in meetings where, we were in one meeting where the pastor's wife had like, I don't know, 20, she must have had 20 words of knowledge. They were just coming out all over the place, and God was touching people, and they were hitting the floor. But God wants to reveal so that he can heal. I heard a pastor say once, when God reveals, he heals. And that may be instantaneous. It might take some time, but God doesn't reveal those things for nothing. Can you, in your own heart and your mind, say, God, is the gift of the word of knowledge something you want to work in me? Ask him for that. It could be that God would use you with that gift. The next one is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a little different than the word of knowledge. We understand God's knowledge, but God's wisdom is not just comes from the fact that he knows all of the facts of the past and of the present, but God knows everything in the future. God knows everything before it happens. Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do what I please. So God knows the end. At the beginning, he already knows what the end is going to be. So God's wisdom comes from his wisdom is in his knowledge of all time and eternity. God not only knows the facts of the past and present, but he knows all that will happen in the future before it happens, and his foreknowledge is his wisdom because he knows what's going to happen, he knows what to do. God knows what's going to happen, therefore he knows what to do. And so the word of wisdom is usually predictive. The word of wisdom usually talks about something that's in the future. Wait, Pastor Dave, isn't that prophecy? Now, there's some confusion of terms in here. To prophesy simply means to speak for another. But when a prophet predicts the future, he is giving literally a word of God's wisdom. It will tell what to do in the future. And some examples from Scripture. 2 Kings 3, we had, it's teeny tiny, but King Jehoram and King Jehoshaphat. Actually, King Jehoram was the king of Israel. He was a very bad king, very wicked, walking in idolatry. And army had come out against him, and he went to find Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, and say, hey, you've got to come and help me out. And Jehoshaphat said, well, we should inquire of the Lord. Let's go find it. So they go and find Elisha. Then Elisha said, as surely as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, were it not for my regard for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you, saying to Joram, or acknowledge you, but now bring me a harpist. And while the harpist played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says, dig this valley full of ditches. Okay, now he's telling him what to do. For the Lord says, you will not see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water, and you will drink, you and your cattle and your animals. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord, and he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand, and you shall attack every fortified city and every city of importance. You shall cut down every good tree, stop up every spring, and ruin every good field with stones. The next morning, at the time of the morning sacrifice, water suddenly flowed from the direction of Edom and filled the land. And that was the word of knowledge that God brought to Elisha. Examples of Jesus, Matthew 17:25 through 27, I think I have it there. After they had arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, does your teacher pay the 2 drachmas? Yes, he said. When Peter entered the house, Jesus preempted him. What do you think, Simon? He asked, from whom do the kings of the earth collect customs and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, he said. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus declared. But so that we may not offend them, go to the sea.
Cast a hook and take the first fish you catch. When you open its mouth, you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Wow! How did he know that? Luke 19. That is a word of knowledge. Luke 19, 29 through 35. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent out two of his disciples saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying it, tell him the Lord needs it. So those who were sent went out and found it just as Jesus had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked, why are you untying the colt? The Lord needs it, they answered. And then they led the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, and put Jesus on it. So another example of a word of knowledge, which is predictive, but Jesus was able to tell them what to do. He knew what was going to happen. We were in our church in Fredonia years ago, and a couple came forward for prayer. They needed to sell their house. They really needed to sell their house. And they came up for prayer and said, we need to sell this property. Would you pray that God will lead us? And they began to pray. And the Lord, through the pastor's wife, gave them a word of wisdom. Amazing. She said to them, God is going to send somebody. He's going to walk by your house. He's going to stop. And he's going to walk up the sidewalk to your house and knock on the door. You will answer. I think she told him what he looked like. I can't remember now. And he said, he's going to ask you if your house is for sale, and he's going to offer you this amount of money. Sell your house to that man. And they said, well, okay. They went home. One day, the wife is at home. There's a knock at the door. And this guy walks up and he says, hey, is your house for sale? And she said, yeah. And she said, I'd like to buy your house. I'd like to make you the amount that had come, the exact amount. This is not the end of the story. It didn't really end well, I'm sorry to say. Do not doubt the word of the Lord. This couple, they were amazed, and she was like, wow, my husband will be home. I'll tell him all about it, and we'll call you. And so her husband came home, and the two of them, as they were marveling about it, talked with some other Christian friends that they knew, and the other Christian friends said, wait a minute. God wants you to be a good steward of your house. That is nowhere near what your house is worth. Don't sell it to them. God wouldn't have you do that. And they talked him out of it. And they didn't sell their house to that guy. And their house sat on the market forever. When every time I hear that story, I think, why didn't you sell your house? Oh. So there's a lesson in there. When God speaks, got to listen to it. Oh, I wanted to do discerning of spirits, but we got to stop. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful knowledge. We thank you for your wonderful wisdom, Lord. And God, we need it. We need your help, Lord. And so, God, I pray, Father, that you would raise up those in the body of Christ who would have an ear to the Spirit of God, that would receive these wonderful words of knowledge and wisdom. Father, I pray you'd pour it out on the body. God, we know that when you reveal hidden things, God, that means you're going to move. When you give your wisdom, that means that you're giving direction in the Spirit. And God, we pray that you would pour that out. And Lord, raise our expectation of hearing from you, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to do that really good work in us, Father. Help us to have ears to hear. And Lord, we know that not everybody may have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Perhaps there'll be one that you use to pray for somebody who's sick. Or God, we know, though, that
that you give those diversities of gifts. And Father, we're asking that you would pour out the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and that you would touch people's hearts and lives. Let it happen in evangelism. Let it happen in the church, God. We pray, and we pray, Father, even today, as we heard earlier, that you would help us to be filled, and then, God, give us grace to pour out. Fill, and then pour out. And, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for that those wonderful gifts, the grace deposit that you put. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, we would love to pray for you and believe God with you for his power to meet whatever need you might have. And maybe you've been seeking a release in the Holy Spirit. If that's you and you've been seeking a release in the Holy Spirit, today could be the day that God would touch you. So if you need prayer today, feel free to come. If not, God bless you. Could I remind you to please pray for the Sorensen family this week? And calling hours 2 to 4, 6 to 8 on Wednesday, and funeral Thursday at 10:30. God bless you.